life of the church. Hebrews 10:25 says, not abandoning our assembly life together, as the custom with some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day that's his coming drawing near. So there is an assembling life. If the church is the universal church, you would have no assembling. You don't assemble the universal church. You see? It exists all over the earth, and it exists for all time. It does not have limitations. It includes Paul. It includes Martin Luther. Okay? And it includes where they live. I mean, it just doesn't have any limitation to it. It's the people of God, wherever they are, at whatever time they are. But if you're going to assemble, this automatically shows you're in the same time and you're in the same place, doesn't it? Or you couldn't make it to assemble, especially in that day. So we must not neglect it. The first two verses, 1 Corinthians 11:25-26, talks about what we call the Lord's table, which he talked about so strongly in these verses, that we should do it, we should break bread, we should drink the cup, we should do it in remembrance of him, and every time we do it, we declare the Lord's death until he comes. You see? Other than baptism and physical water, this was the only other physical thing he gave us to do. And we should do this on the Lord's Day once a week. If you want to do it by the Scripture, that's the way you do it. 1 Corinthians 14:23-31. If therefore the whole church comes together in one place, is that the universal church?
No.
Impossible.
Impossible.
It's coming together in one place.
Right.
And all speak in tongues, and some unlearned in tongues or unbelievers enter, they will think that you are insane. See, this is not a book that promotes the miraculous gifts. It's the book that speaks the most about them, but it speaks about them to tone it down because they have so many gifts and so many problems that the miraculous things cannot be the main thing of God's New Testament economy, okay? Then he gets into something that is in the main thing. It says, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. To prophesy, what is to prophesy? See, you need to be a prophesying person. We have a meeting every Lord's Day just to prophesy. To prophesy. How do you prophesy? Are we Quakers? Do everyone sit around in total silence and somebody jump up and say, it's going to rain tomorrow, and sit back down in silence? I just felt an earthquake in Indochina. Sit down. See, how silly, how weak. What does that do for you? Other than confuse you. The Yankees are going to win the World Series. Oh, that's just great for building up the church. Hey, Jennifer, you know who the Yankees are? You do? Who are they? They what?
What do they play?
Do you know where they're from? No, I don't look around. I'm talking to you. Where are they from? Don't look around, Jennifer. I'm talking. Okay, you know what? I can tell you know next to nothing about this. And you know what? You are missing zero. Okay. Do you know who the Giants are? Never heard of the Giants. You don't know what city they came from. Amazing. It's an astonishing thing.
That's incredible.
Well, once again, your lack of knowledge in this area is absolutely of no problem whatsoever for the building up of the church. In fact, it could be a hindrance to you. This depends on how much you got into it. Acts 12:5. Oh, they were praying. See, the church is a praying. They met together and prayed. And so then Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was being made fervently by the church to God concerning him. And you know, as soon as he miraculously got out of prison and God caused that miraculous escape, he went to the house where they were praying. That was a corporate prayer going on, right? Then, of course, you have Acts 2:46, where it says, and day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple. They didn't have a big enough place to meet other than the temple. They kind of took it over, made everybody really mad, got a few people stoned and stuff like that, but they met in the temple. And breaking bread from house to house. How about that one? Breaking bread from house to house. They partook of their food with exaltation and simplicity of heart. See? So here's a church meeting in houses. Here's a church praying fervently, and that was in Mary's house. And here's a church in some kind of place where they're all together, so it was big enough. And they were prophesying one by one. And what is a prophecy? It's a speaking forth of something concerning the riches of Christ. See, how do we know this? We know this by the books of the Old Testament. Most of them, by far, a huge percent of them, it was not about predicting the fall of some empire or this or that. It was prophecies concerning the coming one, Christ himself. And they would speak about his virtues, his glories, his kingdom, all these kind of things. This is to speak forth Christ is to prophesy. Not to say something in an unknown way that other people will think you're insane. And then the other one, of course, was the Lord's table. Then there were other kinds of meetings in the New Testament, meetings of special fellowship, conference type of meetings when Paul was in town or some apostle, report meetings when he went back to Jerusalem or some other place. Lots of different kind of meetings, but these were the big four basic kinds of meetings.